Good evening. I would like to open the council meeting tonight by having a moment of silence for the victims of yesterday's Virginia Tech, and then we will follow that with the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I have so many stacks of paper here. I don't know which one I'm going to start on first. Hopefully I'll get the correct one. There are some corrections to the agenda, and I know of two of them. And under grant request, I would like to pull off Sussex Cyclist, and number one, and number two, Cheer Beach Day. That's a budget request. That's the only two that I'm aware of. Any other? Do you have any more, Mr. Baker?
Yes, I'd like to strike number two under myself, airport lease assignments.
Number two?
Going on again next week.
Airport lease assignments, okay. Under grant request, number one and two, Sussex Cyclist and Cheer Beach Day. Okay. Any other corrections?
Yeah, under number three, Dave Baker, possible discussion and possible introduction of proposed ordinances. The first one, I believe, of the two would be struck, as we have already...
Second one.
Ordinance number 1884.
The second one. We already talked about that.
We talked about
it? You talking about the ordinance 1842?
I believe so,
right.
Mr. Baker.
That's
is that correct?
One, that's the one that...
struck the first two grants.
Would be it? Struck.
Should be struck.
Should be struck, yes.
Mm-hmm. First two grants.
Yeah.
Okay.
First two grants.
Anything else?
Number two.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion. With amendments, I have a motion. Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips, with the amendments that we have just considered and talked about. Any further amendments? Call for vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Approval of minutes. I think we've got two sets of minutes for the 20th and the 27th. So we'll do the 20th first. Any additions or corrections to the minutes for March the 20th, 07?
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips, to approve the minutes from March the 20th of 2007. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. You have minutes for March the 27th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips again to approve the minutes from March the 27th, 2007. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Okay. Correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
A couple of items. A letter from the First State Resource Conservation and Development Council thanking council for a donation of $25,000 that they used to help in emergency home repairs. And they say that since the beginning of their fiscal year, July 1, 2006, 144 homes have received assistance. They point out that 80% of the households that received assistance were headed by an elderly person, and the average annual income of the household was $14,369. Next, a letter from the Sussex County Animal Association and Whimsical Animal Rescue thanking council for a donation that they use in their program to rescue unwanted dogs and cats and conduct a spay-neuter program. A card from Ricky
Yakimovich,
student ambassador, says, and I think we gave him a gift to help him with a trip that he was taking. He says that he looks forward to sharing his experiences after he returns from Europe in July 2007. A letter from the BB Medical Foundation thanking council for a gift in the amount of $1,500 toward the sponsorship of their annual Best of the Beach art auction. I think that's it, unless someone else has something they haven't. Nope. Wait a minute. There's another one. Delaware Ducks Unlimited, Green Wing, thanking council for a recent donation towards their event, which I assume was a. Let's see what it was. A day of education and conservation. And that's it.
Mr. Baker.
Hey. The first item tonight is a proclamation regarding National Library Week, and with us tonight is Mrs. Carol Fitzgerald, our county librarian. And I'll go ahead and read the proclamation, and I know Mrs. Fitzgerald has some comments. This is a proclamation proclaiming the week of April 15th to the 21st, 2007, as National Library Week. Whereas our nation's public libraries transform their communities, and whereas libraries play a vital role in supporting the quality of life in their communities, and whereas librarians are trained professionals helping people of all ages and backgrounds find and interpret the information they need to live, learn, and work in the 21st century, and whereas libraries are places for opportunity, education, self-help, and lifelong learning, and whereas libraries bring you a world of knowledge, both in person and online, and whereas libraries are a key player in the national discourse on intellectual freedom, equity of access, and narrowing the digital divide, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims National Library Week, April 15th to the 21st, 2007. The council encourages all residents to visit the library this week to take advantage of the wonderful library resources available and thank their librarians and library workers for making information accessible to all who walk through the library doors.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Phillips, to adopt the proclamation just read by Mr. Baker proclaiming April the 15th to the 21st is National Library Week. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I have for you some packets, which I will pass out. This year, our focus is Come Together at Your Library. And in these packets, I have flyers and bookmarks and brochures about the activities that are taking place this week at the libraries. When I looked at some of the statistics, it appears that on average there is a program taking place somewhere in the libraries in the county every single day. We have 600 computer uses every single day in the libraries. On an average day, over 10,000 people are coming into our libraries. So we are extremely busy places. We have over 94,000 patrons registered with library cards in this county. We're active, we're involved. The libraries are books and materials, but they're more than that. They are community centers for these towns. So we're very pleased to have these libraries, and we certainly thank the council for its support and hope that you will take the opportunity this week to visit one of your libraries. Thank you.
How many did you say come to libraries?
On average, 10,000 people in a week.
In a week?
In a week.
Wow. That's a lot. You need to go there and get educated. On behalf of the council, we'd like to thank you for your efforts for making this week as National Library Week. And all your efforts to get all the libraries working together, and maybe Mr. Rogers can speak about in the library. He's trying to get him to go to Milton Library and get some books. Maybe he can learn something.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You put it on your paper on the right.
The next item is a ordinance that we've been in discussion phase the last several weeks. This proposed ordinance regarding zoning would allow multifamily conditional uses in growth areas. At the same time, it would prohibit multifamily conditional uses in non-growth areas in level 4. It would require proffering a fee for the multifamily units that exceed 2 units per acre. And this is a similar setup as our current bonus density trade ordinance. It would not allow more than 4 units per acre, and it would require 40% open space, and it would also allow an expedited review for the development. It would require a 75-foot vegetative buffer on the main roads. The proffer fees would be used to purchase open space for preservation or for passive recreation, and it could also be used for conservation easements. The purchase of land or conservation easements would be subject to the county council approval by a 4/5 supermajority, and the land trust would act as a recommending body only, subject to the county council's discretion. Again, that language in this ordinance is the same as in the existing bonus density trade ordinance. So Mr. Vince Robertson, the assistant county attorney, has been working with us. He met with Mr. Lank and Mr. Kautz and myself yesterday, and we've had some ongoing discussions, and I know Mr. Phillips was kind of spearheaded this, and it's on tonight for discussion and consideration, as you could introduce it in this form if you would like.
Well, I would just like to say up front, I don't intend to introduce it tonight, simply because I respect the process that we have used in the past whenever an ordinance is presented, to at least give the council a week to look at it and come to grips with it. This very simply would require developers to pay for density that's above the zone as is requested in a conditional use permit when they're applying for a residential project. It's pretty simple. I mean, it requires 40% open space, which right now there is no requirement under a conditional use permit, as I understand the law. It would require 75-foot screening buffer along the roadways to lessen the impact on the view shed as people ride down the road. The money would go into what I would consider a conservation fund controlled by the council that could preserve open space throughout the county. It would use the same format as the density trade ordinance, which utilizes the Sussex County Land Trust as a recommending body only. But any monies that the council spent would require a 4/5 majority of the council. Right now, we're giving away density with no consideration. This would simply require a fee that could be used to benefit the public. That's all.
This cannot be, you cannot do this in level four, is that correct? It's got to be a development district only?
Well, there are, you know, level four is a concept promoted by the state, but in our environmentally sensitive developing district, it's my understanding there is some level four areas. So in essence, it could be done in level four as long as it's, as it is in one of our growth zones.
Okay, so it would still have to be in a growth zone regardless of what level it's at.
And as I say, right now we are approving higher densities in level four if they fall within an environmentally sensitive developing district anyway.
Could you explain to me why greater density in the environmentally sensitive district is environmentally sensitive?
Well, that's really not the point. The fact is we're already doing it, Mr. Cole. This would...
This actually, in this, you have some here. Whereas the intent of the plan is to encourage higher residential densities in town centers and developing areas.
That's in the land use plan.
Right, I know. I'm just saying, I think the land use plan is wrong in that area, and I think that we're going down a path where we have an environmentally sensitive developing district. I could understand this maybe in around town centers in every other district but the environmentally sensitive district, but right now we have a lot of growth, got all kinds of problems, and I can't imagine that we would be encouraging higher densities in our environmentally sensitive developing district.
I'm not sure how you equate charging a fee to encouraging when they can actually get that higher density now without paying a penny. If anything, this could discourage it.
Are we striking the other path that developers have taken where they got it for free, or is that path still going to be available?
If this is passed, it's my understanding if a developer came in for a conditional use in a growth zone or a developing area, they would have to pay a fee. They couldn't get the free ride from them.
Well, it appears that, I haven't looked at this very much, but on page 2, item 9, it says multifamily dwelling structure shall not be considered as a conditional use under any other provision of this section. And I don't know if you remember or not, but we've got a catch-all thing, a phrase that says any residential, commercial, or industrial use that may not be, which could be permitted as a conditional use but is not otherwise allowed, something like that. I think what that's saying is it would close that off. So they would, if they get more than 2 per acre, they'd be paying for those over and above 2 per acre. And the thing that Mr. Cole was noting, which is whereas number 4, it's not numbered, but it's the fourth whereas, that's lifted a quote out of the comprehensive plan.
Right, I know it is, but we're revising the plan. We have consultants working on the plan, and they heard some complaints through their public hearing process about we've been too lenient in the environmentally sensitive developing district, and that's where a lot of people are very concerned about, whether it's Department of Natural Resources or it's local people, no matter what. So across the board, we've had concerns there. So this would be maybe a good idea in town centers and developing districts, but not the environmentally sensitive area, because there's no way in I don't know how anybody can logically come to the conclusion that encouraging, whether you sell them, whether you, I don't care if you give them away or sell them, that more and higher density in our environmentally sensitive area is good for this county. So
think about it, Mr. Cole.
Right now we are
approving higher density.
That doesn't mean it's right.
Okay, that's a debate for another day. This actually is creating a very high bar for any increased density. You should champion this because this is going to make it much more difficult.
So they can pay, I mean, just because they pay for it, it's better?
No.
It makes it more difficult. And you,
well, how's it more difficult?
Right now they get it for free.
Wait, paying for it makes it's still easy here. They're going to get the approval no matter what because 90% of the stuff gets approved, whether it's free or whether they pay for it.
They get an extra.
So I don't know.
If they get an extra 100 units because a good attorney comes up here and convinces us it's a good thing for nothing, versus if this is approved, they'd have to pay $2 million to conserve land in this county.
The interesting thing, you don't even have to be a good attorney to get that.
Again, that's okay. All the more reason why this should be championed by you.
I mean, I don't understand why you, as a councilman, have not been able to sit here and listen to a presentation and come to the conclusion that maybe that this project, this attorney, whether he's good or bad, is championing, is appropriate. But yet you've always approved him. So you're, and again, most of these things you're introducing are increasing density. My only concern to you is, should we be doing this in the environmentally sensitive area? Take that out, and this is probably a good ordinance. It would encourage it near town centers, which are developing areas, around the towns. When we saw that map last week, gentlemen, you saw how it came all the way down the coast. Everywhere else in the county, it's just circles around these municipalities, except in the coastal area. We have incorporated so much of the rural areas that people are just sick and tired of seeing developed with all the, and now we're talking multi-families in areas that have been preserved for, what, since 1974, I guess it is, Jim? Is that when we adopted the first plan or something that came up with MR and GR? And,
but in that area, Mr. Cole, has central, just about 90% of that area, I would say, has central sewer.
Doesn't matter. It's the quality of life. It's the character of the neighborhoods. It's the rural area. People have moved out of out of Rehoboth and all these places to get away from it all. And now we've turned around and are approving now multifamily. Anything comes in front of us, whether it's free or whether you pay for it, it's getting approved. So my question is, should we be doing that when we look at the rest of the world around us, Kent County, Newcastle County, Maryland counties, Virginia counties, where they're protecting near their inland bays, near the Assiniboine canals, the Assiniboine Bays and the Indian River Bays and the Rehoboth Bays. We're not doing a thing to protect it by increasing density. So take that out.
We certainly don't pump the sewer in it like Lewis and Rehoboth does.
Oh, the sewer, there's more to life than sewer. There's the roads. There's the density. There's the congestion we've got, the gridlock. You're just on sewer. I understand that.
That's what we're in charge of.
We've done a great job with sewer. I don't dispute that. I'm not arguing that. What I'm talking about is what you're doing to the county and what we're doing to this environmentally sensitive area. It's a joke the way it's written, and that's the impression I got through the land use plan public hearings that their consultants were in. I think this ought to be given to the consultants and let them try to fit this into the package and see where they come up and suggest where this should be inserted. Maybe they will agree with Mr. Phillips. Maybe they might have some good ideas to modify. But we're working. We're paying these guys a lot of money. Why are we doing this independently of these land use consultants? Doesn't make sense. So either there's another motive that you guys got that I don't understand, or why don't we let these guys who were paying money look at it and see how it works? See if it fits. See if it makes sense.
Has there been any discussion with the consultants?
Yes. Initially, we didn't send this version of the proposed ordinance to the consultants, but several weeks ago, when we began these discussions, we sent a previous version to them, and Charlie Schmiel from Urban Research, our land use consultants, replied that they were in support of these types of programs that would allow purchases of additional density. He did note that they still believe a broader TDR program would also be beneficial and as a supplement to current county density payment program.
The way I read that comment is this land use plan that they're working on revising is like a puzzle, and there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. And if we do TDRs and this and that, maybe we don't need to do it all. In other words, we're just out here fumbling around. Why don't we wait till they come back? There's no rush to adopt anything like this. Pass it on to them. Let them see, is this preferable to a TDR?
If we had
maybe
done,
it
if,
I don't
we,
know.
If we had done this, if this concept had been in place in this county 10 years ago, we would have had tens of millions of dollars available to purchase open space in this county to permanently preserve. You keep putting these good ideas off, saying, oh, we can do it next year, but yet this...
It would be a good idea if you didn't include the environmentally sensitive area. That's the only thing. You've got a problem with me when it comes to the environmentally sensitive area. And the other thing is, I just don't think that the consultants have had an opportunity to put this in and actually promote it to the public. I know they commented on it, but that comment is that's a lukewarm comment.
What you said you won?
Pardon?
For the land use consultants?
One of the guys looked at it, but they didn't present it to anybody as a proposed, you know, part of the package that they're looking at.
Had they opposed it would have been gospel, I'm sure, in your mind.
No, I don't know. I don't even know these guys. Actually, if you recall, I voted against these guys. I thought the other ones would.
Well, Mr. President, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and leave this on the table this week, but I expected these comments from Mr. Cole, but the idea that we can continue to give away density, which is a process of creating tremendous wealth, and not share that wealth with the public, to me, is a failure in good governance.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there anybody that thinks this also? I mean, when you tell these people, oh, we're going to put this extra density in your MR district, which when they bought their houses, they assumed there would be single-family homes.
We're already doing it, Mr.
Wait a minute. They assumed there would be...
MMR 4 units to the acre?
Whatever, but they're looking at... What did I just say? I didn't say...
It says the maximum 4 units to the acre?
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
When they buy into a place and they thought they were getting an MR district with single-family homes, and now we're putting in this, again, this changes the character dramatically. And then you say, okay, we're going to go buy open space. Now, it's like my comments I made when if they take the transfer tax from Sussex County, I said, I don't mind if they take the transfer tax because maybe we've been irresponsible with all this growth and the state needs some money to give us some roads, some infrastructure. But I wanted that money to make sure it came back to the area that it was collected in. The same thing goes with my way of thinking here. If you end up sticking all this density on all these people or changing the character of their neighborhood and say, oh, we're going to go buy some open space. Now, are we going to be able to buy ag land preservation with that, where we just buy pay some farmer not to, not to sell his land? Are we going to buy it in Gumbert? Are we going to put the density here and then go buy the land on the other side of the county? I mean, again, it's all over the place. I don't trust these kind of things.
If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Cole, 90% of the money we buy... The land that the land trust has done has been on the east side of the county.
Yes, how much has been down in southeastern corner of the county? Land that was purchased by the
I'll be honest with you, AR
district.
Know.
It's been up around Milton mostly, right?
Please.
No, I don't have any problem with it.
So,
when they buy the land,
I don't think so. I mean, maybe some of the farm preservation stuff.
Where's the open space? Where did they buy open land?
I bought some around Oyster Rocks Road. Some around
Ponder. Where's that? Where's Oyster?
The Ponder track west of Milton.
It's all Milton. That's what I just said. Up around Milton. I think that's what I just said. Most of it.
Obviously.
So we're not seeing. So if you're going to add some density down in the southeastern corner, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And you're going to go buy some land. Don't you think the people would appreciate it if the open space you were purchasing was near where all this new growth is and this density is? They're not going to see the benefits when you go buy some open land up around Milton it's 20 miles away.
We certainly bought a huge amount for spray tracks down there that we've known that are sitting
all
right. down.
You got all the answers. I don't know if we again.
Okay.
I had a couple of things I wanted to mention. Whether this goes or not, I don't know, but
it'll go.
If you look at near the bottom of page 1,
mm-hmm.
I think that language ought to be cleared up a little bit because it says the developer has proffered to Sussex County for the purpose of creating open space / active and passive recreation areas. The way that's lumped, it makes it sound like the open space would have to have all those things, open space for preservation plus active and passive recreation. If you look at number 3, it's got purchase open space for preservation and or active and or passive. I think the and or should be carried over to number 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing in number 3 talks about the county council prior to signing a contract to purchase open space. There could be a situation down the road where somebody would say, I'll lease open space to you for 99 years, but I won't buy it, so you may want to add purchase or lease. And number 4,
lease. That's a very good suggestion.
In number four, it says it's understood that the county will control all the monies and the land trust will act as a recommending body. And where it says and partner, you might consider adding and or partner, because there might be a situation where you don't want a partner or they don't have the money to partner. And then in number eight, it says council may consider authorizing expedited review. Well, all that really says that you can consider authorizing it, but it doesn't tell you you can. So I would suggest that be worded, council may consider and authorize expedited review. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
That's why you get paid the big bucks. Well, I'll talk to the council members this week and ask that it be put on the agenda next week for introduction.
How about state planning officer? They looked at this. They have any comments?
Well, we'll have a public hearing. I would encourage them to come.
Okay.
So come on down.
I mean, will they be sent a copy and ask for comments before, or?
I think Rick, doesn't he go up those, Lawrence, if I'm not mistaken?
They will be provided a copy to comment on.
Okay.
And all our ordinance is up to
them. Okay, all right. Very good. Any other comments?
Nope.
Moving right along. Administrator's report.
Okay. Several items tonight. First, Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District Boundary Extension Public Hearing. The Sussex County Engineering Department will be conducting a public hearing at the Indian River Volunteer Fire Hall in Oak Orchard on Saturday, April 21st, 2007 at 9 a.m. The purpose of the hearing is to extend the boundaries of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. 911 address verification via the internet. We are pleased to announce that the information systems and addressing departments have completed establishing on the county's website a process where county property owners can verify their 911 addresses. Attached is a copy of the county's webpage to submit the verification form. We are encouraging county property owners to verify their addresses via the internet, telephone, or mail to enable us to attach the address to specific telephone numbers. In the near future, an ad campaign with a mailing regarding this matter will also occur. And the county's website is www.sussexcountyde.gov, and a link is on that website as soon as you bring it up to verify your 911 address. And I'd like to thank Mr. Sparpaglione and the addressing department for working on this.
How about a rental? Let me just say, if somebody has rental property and the renters don't own it, and if you typed in, say if I typed in my name, I would only get my primary residence, right? How would somebody verify, say, other properties they own?
Well,
I think it'll have a different phone number. I shouldn't.
We were attaching the phone number to that property. So we're actually going to be sending them a mailer, the ones who have not verified the address. We will send to the address that we have and ask them to reply and note the physical address with their telephone number, with name.
Okay, but so down at the beach where people maybe are using cell phones and are short-term rentals and stuff like that, is there, I'm just wondering how anybody would verify a second home that they don't have it, maybe a telephone nowadays, landline.
I know we're asking for two numbers also. We're also asking for a cell phone. Go ahead if you want to show them.
Well, jump in here.
Actually, to answer your question, Mr. Cole, the phone number verification is done for a CAST certification, if you will, where they take and compare the information that the phone company has within their Annie Alley database with phone numbers. What we're trying to do is come up with a, I believe, 90%+ match that is required for 911 addressing. I can't speak to all of the details of that. Somebody from the addressing department could probably better answer your question.
But I have.
In your rental property situation, right. If you have no landline there, there is no address verification that we're going to do on that property. What we're trying to verify are phone records for a landline at a parcel or home to records that the phone company has. We're trying to get our records to match the phone company's records within a certain percentage, and this is part of that process.
I get, yeah, okay.
Okay.
So there's going to be there's a gap, there's going to be a certain percentage of people that just aren't going to be able to be found, possibly, or...
It's
unless
difficult.
Unless they give a good description when they call in over the 911 line, right?
It's difficult, yeah. And we're trying to go three avenues to give people a way to contact us. One's the internet, another is this mailer, and then a third is by telephone. And so we're just doing the best we can to try to get the information. Next item, Delaware State Police Activity Report for February. Attached is the most recent report from the Delaware State Police regarding Sussex County activity for February 2007. As noted on the report, 3,444 complaints were addressed. Also, 1,184 criminal arrests occurred, plus 3,757 traffic arrests. And Delaware Department of Transportation public workshops, attached are scheduled for public workshops being held by DelDOT pertaining to the Delaware Capital Transportation Program 6-year plan and also the Sussex County Transportation Plan update. The 6-year plan meeting will be held Wednesday, April 18th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Georgetown DelDOT Administration Building. The Transportation Plan update meetings will be held at the Bridgeville Fire Hall on Monday, April 23rd from 5 to 7:30 and at the Rehoboth Beach Convention Center on Wednesday, April 25th from 5 to 7:30. And then beneficial acceptance. The Engineering Department has granted beneficial acceptance to the following projects. Nassau Grove LLC Phase 1 Agreement 511-1 was granted beneficial acceptance on April 2nd. The developer is K. Hovanian Homes of Delaware LLC, and the project is located southwest of Route 1 and County Road 265 in the West Rehoboth Sewer Project, consisting of 122 units. Forest Landing, Phase 1A, Agreement 343-1 was granted beneficial acceptance on April 3rd. Developer is Forest Landing Development LLC, and the project is located the intersection of County Road 368 and 84 in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, consisting of 20 townhouses. And then finally, Cadbury at Lewis, agreement number 693 was granted beneficial acceptance on April 9, 2007. Developer is Cadbury Lewis Incorporated. The project is located on Gills Neck Road in the West Rehoboth Sewer Project, consisting of one healthcare building with 40 assisted living units and 40 skilled nursing rooms, 84 unassisted living apartments, 48 cottages, and a community center. Thank you.
Hey, Dave, I got the two meetings for transportation. Are they both the same? I mean, one's just a 6-year plan, the other one's a plan?
Yeah, the first is their 6-year capital, a public meeting on their 6-year capital plan. And then the other two, one's at Bridgeville and the other at Rehoboth, are on the county land use plan transportation portion update. So,
That's cool.
We will have representatives at each meeting.
Okay.
Mr. Godwin. I'm sorry, excuse me. I didn't mean to skip you.
Okay.
I know you'd be offended.
It's very important. Thank you. Today I have a resolution which would authorize me, the county finance director, or David Baker, the county administrator, to transact and sign documents relating to securing funds for a federal grant awarded to Sussex County. This is a requirement of the federal STAG grant administered through EPA. This grant is for funding for the South Ocean View Sewer District, which is now under construction. $250,000 has been obligated through EPA, and now we're working on our grant application. The project is being funded through a county grant, SRF loan, State of Delaware grant, and this federal grant. It's approximately 70% completed, with hookups expected to begin in the fall. There are 312 users. The estimated cost of this project is within the budgeted amount and funding availability. If there aren't any questions, I have a resolution, a motion to adopt a resolution.
Read it.
I have a motion to adopt the resolution as follows. Be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby name and appoint Susan Webb, County Finance Director, or David Baker, County Administrator, as their authorized representative to transact and sign any and all documents relating to the securing of funds from the federal grant awarded to Sussex County, Delaware, as administered by the EPA.
To appoint yourself.
Need a motion?
Madam Baker.
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Jones, to adopt the resolution just read by Mrs. Webb. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, the first item I have for your consideration this evening is a grant resolution. The state of Delaware, through its planning office, makes $150,000 available each year for towns and counties to apply for $10,000 grants to be used in planning efforts. We're asking the state, I took the liberty to send an application to the state planning office on the 3rd of this month with the president's signature on it to apply for such a grant, but we need to follow up with a resolution from the county council as a whole. And I have written a resolution for your consideration this evening. Resolution requesting financial assistance from the state of Delaware for the review and update of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Whereas Sussex County Council is currently reviewing and preparing to update its 2003 Comprehensive Plan as required by state law, and whereas Sussex County Council has contracted with Urban Research and Development Corporation of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for planning consultant services to review the county's 2003 Comprehensive Plan and offer suggested updates and ordinances at a contract cost totaling $225,000. And whereas the state of Delaware, through the Office of State Planning Coordination, provides $150,000 in grant funding available to counties and municipalities in $10,000 increments each to qualified applicants. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby affirms its petition to the Delaware Office of State Planning Coordination to be granted $10,000 to assist with the costs and review and update to the county's comprehensive plan. We would need a motion for that resolution, sir.
I read somewhere that this kind of is designed for those municipalities that may have a bit of a financial hardship.
Generally it is, but we qualify for it because of the amount of money that we're spending and the work that we're doing in our plan and the fact that we're going to match the funds. We're going to more than match the funds.
I think a lot of it is, Mr. Phillips, is after he gives the legislative report, you understand why we'll be in deep distress.
What?
From the legislature.
But is there any any stipulations of the funding that if you take it, that you have to abide by a certain?
No. They do mention in the application that they expect your planning process to encompass certain things, which I think I forwarded to you. But I spoke with Brian Hall, and he assured me that there aren't any requirements of us as far as the details of our planning process if we accept the grant money.
Do we have that in writing?
Yeah, 'cause I thought it had something to do in there about saying you had to like livable Delaware and you had to A, B, C, and D.
Smart grip.
What it says.
I just don't want no strings attached.
No, I don't either. I understand.
Saying, you know, you took our money, now you're going to do this. Bang.
Usually there's strings attached when there's money like that, Dale.
Well, then I know
how to vote. Anybody want you to act responsible with it?
Then I know how to vote then, Mr. Cole.
I think it's about level.
The Office of State Planning Coordination will review the application, make recommendations to the governor's senior advisor for approval. The Office of State Planning Coordination reserves the right to attach special conditions to any and all awards, as they reserve the right to, but they haven't as yet.
Well, they won't yet.
If you take it, they can still do it, right?
Well, I would assume that they would make those conditions. If they're going to put special conditions in, they would do that prior to you receiving the money.
Let's see those conditions.
I guess my problem is this is our land use plan. It's a county plan that they approve. And, you know, they're trying to dictate to us what I just think that down the road they're going to dictate to us what we're going to do.
I don't see any of that in the application form, but you may be right. You have more experience at that than I. There is one section in the application form that says types of projects that will be considered for funding, and it goes on to list a number of items, one being post-planning for implementation of comprehensive plan, which is what we're doing, zoning, subdivision, and other land use regulations, community design projects, other projects, it does say other projects needed to comply with livable Delaware laws. So I understand your skepticism. There is a shade of compliance in here, but it doesn't say compliance with what. It just says that they reserve the right to add those conditions if they choose to.
Like moving target to me.
It's up to you.
How much money were they offering?
$10,000.
Yeah, I got some. I got some very frugal towns in my district, Frankfurt. You know, there's some towns that probably could use that money a lot more than us, and it's only $150,000.
Well,
10,000 increments. That's only
15. Eight of them have been claimed. We're in line for number 9 if we want it.
We put this off a little while, see if the others are claimed by more needy municipalities and counties. I mean,
just trying to help balance the budget.
I hear you.
I would agree with Mr. Phillips. I mean, if there's other towns that need it worse than we do, but I would yield to them instead of us taking it. I think we can survive without it, but
tell them a note. Send them a note, Al.
I don't sound ungrateful either.
Next item.
Next item this evening is I have some legislative issues to discuss with you. Currently in the legislature, there are 9 pieces of legislation currently moving that I thought you should be aware of and may have some impact on our government and our assistance. We'll go over that with this package. The first 2 bills are bills that relate to the sheriff in this county. We've discussed this last year, I believe, during the legislature, and I didn't think that they were issues that really deserved a lot of attention, but I thought I'd at least discuss them with you. House Bill 16 clarifies that the sheriff is not included in the definition of a police officer. That bill has been introduced in the House, and it's been assigned to a committee, but it doesn't seem to be moving very fast. House Bill 17 is a very similar bill. Again, they're trying to redefine do some fine-tuning to the state code as it relates to the sheriff. This one, House Bill 17, would remove the sheriff from definitions of law enforcement officers, so they're both kind of aimed at the same issue.
Has our new sheriff weighed in on these two?
I haven't spoken with the sheriff about either of these, no, sir.
Find out how he.
You want the sheriff to have these?
I'd just like to hear what he has to say about it.
I've discussed this with him months ago, but not recently, so I could do that again.
What did he say months ago?
When I spoke with him months ago, the impression I got from him and his comments was that he agreed with this legislation, but he didn't think that. Okay. The sheriff's position should be a police officer, but that's been months ago. That may have changed. I haven't talked to him lately about that.
You'd give him copies of 16 and 17.
Sure.
Is he wearing a uniform now? That would be an indication of whether he...
I haven't seen him in uniform.
No, they wear plain clothes.
Anybody? Because once you see him in a uniform,
is he packing?
Things could have changed.
Is he packing a pistol?
They wear plain clothes.
Got a pistol?
He's undercover.
He's not here.
The next bill, House Bill 30, certainly has a direct impact on us, the way we do business, and certainly on our budget. And I'll let you know that House Bill 30 will probably be on the House Ready list next Tuesday. The General Assembly goes back into session next Tuesday, the 24th, and they'll work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I have been assured by the House Clerk that House Bill 30 will not be on the agenda for Tuesday. Wednesday is committee day, so the earliest House Bill 30 could be heard on the House floor openly would be Thursday the 26th. And, of course, I'll check the schedule online again before Tuesday.
Regarding 30, if this were to pass in its current form, would it have an impact on the county? And what would that impact be in its current form?
Well, we'd have to find another
place to spray irrigate.
But people wouldn't be able to flush their
toilets.
The Wolf Neck Sewer Treatment Plant sprays currently all of its effluent on state-owned farmland, which is in ag production. We lease that from the state with the state in agreement, of course, because they've signed a lease with us. So if this bill were to pass in its current form without any amendments...
I thought it did have amendments.
Well, I was going to get to the amendments in a minute, but the question was in its current form. In its current form, it would take all counties and all municipalities out of the spray business on land owned by the state,
We have one district in that situation?
As I understand.
Yes, Wolf Neck.
Right. Now...
What would happen?
What would happen? Mm. Our sewer business would be shut down.
It's our largest district.
And what would people do? 15,000
Do
we pump into the back?
They would have to call their state representative and get that thing fixed.
Well, wouldn't Jim, let me ask you this, Jim, if when they adopt bills like this and there's actually a use on, you know, operating and something, wouldn't it be grandfathered in?
No.
It could be if they adopt some of these amendments.
Right.
Okay.
Let me go through those four.
Which is probably what's going to happen. But
let me go through the four amendments with
they
you.
They just don't want to see a proliferation of using all the state parklands for
correct
sewage, right? And I think most of the people.
The first amendment was offered for us at my request through Representative Booth, and that amendment number one says this amendment excludes Sussex County from application of this bill. So amendment number one would take us out of the bill completely.
Chances of that happening are slim?
Mr. Booth tells me of late that chances of that amendment sticking are slim. Correct.
Right.
Now, I had also asked Representative Kerry to introduce a bill for me, which is now amendment number two. This won't make any sense to you when I read it this way because they've got it out of sequence. What it says is that this amendment exempts state-owned lands located within 1 mile of the perimeter boundaries that are currently being used for land application or treated wastewater. The reason we need this is because at the Wolf Neck site, while we are spraying in several areas, we do want to expand those sprays to increase the capacity at that plant. And there are lands available, but they're a few hundred yards away from where we're currently